All right, I was okay until just a couple moments ago, and then started getting a little nervous here, so we'll be okay, though. I kept telling myself, it's only for a half an hour. I think I can do that. Good evening, everyone. Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of this is God's Abundant Grace and His Planning. Let's see. I am thankful for all of you coming here tonight. I hope what you hear tonight will allow the Spirit to strengthen your faith. And if anyone hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, that it would give you direction toward Him and His saving love towards you. So as a Christian seeking God's Word, sometimes I read multiple versions of the Bible just for enlightenment. And the verse in Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, which I will read tonight and hopefully expound on it, is a well-known verse. It is one of my favorites. Reading in a King James and a couple others helped me to look deeper. But I remember reading it in the Amplified version one time, and it really floored me and opened my eyes further on the great love that God has for me. I will read it tonight from the Amplified version. I'll read and try not to stumble too much on the words, but the version is a little longer, but I believe it reaches deeper into my spirit, and I hope also yours. So let's see, please focus with me as I read Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Okay. I guess I gotta be out of denial here. I do need glasses. Starting with verse 1. And you He made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. There we go, already in the first verse. In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. These are the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we, as well as you, once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then, by nature, children of God's wrath and heirs of His indignation, like the rest of mankind. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him, for it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, which are limited, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, and His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works. It's not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. We are born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He had planned before for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Let us give a little prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace that supersedes all things. We thank you for your Son, that he did it all on Calvary. We just thank you that we can gather together and worship the one who saved us. Open our eyes and our ears now as we continue to understand your word and what you have for us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I made this kind of personal. I was taught sometimes when you read the Bible, it's a good thing just to put yourself into it and you can understand it a little bit better. So, I have walked in the shadow of the world. I held the hand of the prince of the power of the air. I was disobedient. I hung out with like people who helped me fulfill the desires of the flesh. I was by nature a child of wrath, God's wrath. I was facing eternal life without God in the eternal torment of hell. I was lost with no compass, no North Star, and no hope of ever being found. Verse 1 states, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I had no hope of resuscitation. But verse 1 also states that God quickened me, or made me alive. Why did God do this? I asked. Because he is so rich in mercy, which is unmerited love, that he had to satisfy his great, wonderful, and intense love for me. Imagine a love so immense for a dead with no hope person as myself, that God would perform CPR to resuscitate me to life, but not just any life, or even my old life, but a life in fellowship and union with Christ Jesus. He delivered me from the judgment that is eternal life without God, which I deserve. He made me a partaker of Christ's salvation. And here, verse 6 was one that really, really got me going when I first read it in this. Verse 6 reads, and he raised me up together with Christ and made me sit down together, giving me joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of my being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What is meant by all this? I am made alive, who once was dead. I am so immensely loved with a love I did not deserve. I am saved through faith in Christ's work. But it is not my own work or even my own faith, because faith comes from the Spirit of God. I am saved from the judgment of a holy and just God, and I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. It is stated that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority and power to judge both the living and the dead. This is where I am seated, together with Christ. This is past tense. To God, it is finished. It is done. I am seen by the Father as alive with Christ, risen together and washed by the blood of Christ. So we ask, where did Christ's authority come from? It came from Christ's love for me and perfect obedience to the Father. Christ suffered persecution, rejection, mockeries, false accusations, torture, and even death. Death on a cross, the death I deserved. But he conquered death and the grave, and he did it for me, so I can spend eternal life with him. This is the hope of all Christians who have placed their faith on the holy, perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Now, one might ask, why would the Father give up his only Son for a dead person as myself? Verse 7, he did this to show his immeasurable free grace, which is unmerited favor, through all the ages. Let's remember verse 8, that it is through grace that I am saved. It is nothing that I can do to earn it. I can't work for it. I can't get it by being good. I can't take credit for any of it. It is a free gift to those who put their hope, trust, and faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 states that we are God's workmanship. The good works we do are prearranged by God. I believe it is to help others and to give him the glory, that the love of Jesus may shine through us to ones still dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, Jesus didn't do all of this just for me, but he did it for all of his creation, every man, woman, and child. But it is only through faith in his full work that any can be saved. The question is, will all be saved? Some think that a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell, or that heaven and hell doesn't even exist. The truth is that man sends himself to hell by rejecting Christ and his salvation. They either try to get to heaven themselves through their own goodness or works, or they just flat out deny God and his existence. They believe what the world wants them to believe. I tell you the truth. Christ's salvation is for all, but all will not receive the free gift. Only the ones who believe that Jesus was, is, and always will be the only way to heaven will receive it. For Jesus states himself in John 14:6, the most profound statement of the whole Bible. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So you ask yourself, how can you deny him his rightful place in your heart? The one who gave up everything out of love, so that you may live eternally with him. Remember, it is promised for everyone to die, and then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But no one needs to face judgment. The free gift is offered. Will you take it with gratefulness of heart and know the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God? Now, for those of us who have accepted the free gift, and we know where we will be in eternity, we are not to be idle or complacent. Verse 10, we are his workmanship, his handiwork, to show his grace and mercy. He has work for us to do. We should grow in faith. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. We are to love one another, resist temptation, walk in the works he has prepared for us. We are to honor and glorify him, for Jesus is our salvation. We are to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, which being it is fruit, not fruits, in Galatians 5:22-23. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things help us on this sinful planet. The Spirit is in us and has been granted to us to live with us and guide us. Many things in this world tempt us every day. That's when we have to ask ourselves, is it the way we should go? Am I pleasing God by doing this? This morning, for those of you who are here, Thrall kind of said it as an extra sense that God has given us. And that kind of touched me today. Because the world goes around like everything's okay. That the things we watch on television are okay, the things we hear, things we say. But we have that sense that tells us something's wrong. We turn on the news and we see trouble in the Middle East, trouble in Russia, trouble all over the world. And we ask ourselves what's going on. But the Spirit gives us the peace to understand. It's that extra sense that the world doesn't have, that we have. For those of us who believe that the Lord is the one who did it all. And we need to get in tune with that extra sense, because everything around us is dulling us to the point of acceptance. We are to accept everything that is going on, and God says that we are not supposed to accept these things, for they are sinful by nature. But it is easy when everybody else is doing it. But the Bible says that we are a peculiar people set aside for the work of Christ. We have to take that deeply into our hearts and start looking in the direction that God wants us to go. It is through the fruit of the Spirit that all things work through God. Again, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Above all, we are to love God above all other things. How can we do that? Again, we reach for the Spirit that dwells within inside of us. We see the new cars, we see the new houses, we see this, we see that. We always want. But we should love God above all things. We should give to Him more than we give to ourselves. And that's not always monetary. It's with time and service, spending time with Him. He loves when we spend time with Him, prayer, meditation, reading our Word. I'm at fault myself a lot. I haven't been with Him a lot lately. But being able to prepare this sermon or speech or whatever we want to call it, it helped me remember the love that is for me. I am a sinner, but I am quickened. I am made alive with the blood of Christ. What a glorious thing. What wonderful grace. We can't comprehend it, how God could love a creation that turned their back on Him. But He did it all. He provided it. And He's showing us the way. I do encourage you and myself to follow God's Spirit. Make room in your life and your heart so that He can help us to continue to grow. God's full workmanship is what He has prepared for us. We never know from day to day where He can use us, where our testimony might go, or how helping somebody by mowing their lawn might give us an opportunity to speak of God's grace, whatever it may be. So, I close that to His glory, everything should be done to His glory until the day we see Jesus face to face and we start living with Him forever and ever. But He wants us to live with Him every day, to spend time with Him. He spent time on this earth to do the Father's will, to save us, to give mankind a way to spend eternal life with Him in heaven. He gave us His Spirit to guide us. Let's get in touch with that Spirit a little bit more every day to help us through the tough times that are ahead. Every day has challenges. But God says there's nothing too great for Him. He will help you through it, regardless of what it is. And I say, may the peace of the living God, which still surpasses mine and all of our understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, focused on Jesus, for He is the one who did it out of the grace and the mercy that God had for us. We can't do anything to earn His favor. He only asks us to believe. And in believing, He also asks us to honor Him and give Him the credit. So anytime you want to be boastful about something that you've done or someone that you've talked to, remember, if it's not for God's glory, it falls short. But if it's for God's glory, give Him the credit and the honor and the praise. I thank you all this evening. I hope you have a good night, and God bless you.